This morning, turn with you would in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be finishing chapter 4 this morning, looking at verses 12 through 21. You know, where we left off in 1 John there in chapter 4, we had just finished a passage where John was giving us a very theological definition of love. Where it came from, and that it comes from God. And now this morning, we're going to see an expressions of love and what it's like to express this love and where that comes from. You know, and throughout our world, there are many different surfaces that are reflective. And reflective surfaces provide us a good news to tell if something is out of place. Or this morning, as I tried to tie a bow tie several times and get it correct, you know, I had to use a reflective surface to figure it all out. We use these reflective surfaces in many ways, and a lot of times mirrors are used for illusions and by magicians and maybe sawing somebody in half, and they use a mirror to block light and all these different things. One of the great occurrences of a reflected image that I experienced as a child was at Walt Disney World, there in the Haunted Mansion. Those people that think that they are trying to provide something so fun for everybody, but they were evil on that ride. I tell you what, as a little kid getting on the Haunted Mansion and looking at all the different things that are going on and these ghosts that are appearing out of nowhere and all this fog and all the mirrors. At one point, your car comes down this line and it turns and it's facing a mirror. And you're seeing into your car and, all right, there's me, there's my dad, everything's going according to normal. And then an image pops up in between you and the person there, like a ghost is sitting there, and you turn and you look and there's no one. And then all of a sudden, why is this image here in the mirror? Where is this ghost coming from? And it scared me half to death. You know, these reflective surfaces provide different opportunities to show what's truly happening in what we see. This morning, as we look at this passage, we're going to see how John relates us to being a reflection of God. A reflection of God. And this reflection is going to come in how we express love. How we express love. Read with me here in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Here in this passage, we see the practical applications of expressing love. But as we see this passage start and as it begins to unfold, notice first what he says here in verse 12. No one has ever seen God. Now, this is interesting that he would put in this phrase right in the middle of this passage of love that he's talking about. He had just finished saying that God is love and that he has loved us. And now in verse 12, he's saying, but no one's ever seen God. Okay, John, what are you trying to tell me here? Why are you telling me this now? Of course we know no one has ever seen God. We see this throughout Scripture when we see how God is detailed as a spirit, that God is not visible to the eye, but He's a spirit. He's everywhere present at the same time. And this is all a part of God's attributes. But then it also shows us that God's glory is too much for us to handle, right? Because that's what Moses, when he was telling God, God, let me see a glimpse of your glory. He said, no man can see God and live. And even Moses only got to see a slight portion of God's glory, only enough that he could handle, and it still made his face glow. But you know what? That's not what John is trying to imply here when he says no one has ever seen God. Because think about it, in the middle of this passage, verse 11, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. And then here's the thing, if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Here's a summary of where we're going to see this passage go this morning. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's abiding in us. And His love is perfected in us. You know what he's saying? No one has ever seen God, but if you want a glimpse, it should be seen through how we love one another. And how we reflect His image. This morning as we look at this, we will see the evidence of God dwelling in us. We'll see the consequence of it being that the love is perfected out of. And how we physically love and how we do the tangible actions of love, whether it's fixing a meal for somebody, helping them with something that they need, you know, giving them a hug, being there when they need them, whatever expressions of love that may be important at that time, we have an opportunity to show who God is through being a reflection of Him. The expression of love gives us the image. And now as we look at this passage this morning, I want to kind of go through it a little bit differently. We're going to do something that at times is called a reverse exegesis. It means we're going to start at where he finishes and build ourselves back to see what it's all built upon. Normally we would start where it starts the building. We're going to start with the foundation and we're going to build up. Well, this morning we're going to start at the tip and we're going to go down to the foundation. We're going to start with where it's all leading to and then go to the reason that it comes about in the first place. And in expressing love, we find that love is mirrored from the source. Love is mirrored from the source. Look down at verse number 19. Verse number 19, it says, we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Here in verse 19, we have that great promise. We have that great assurance in us. As John tells us, we love him because he first loved us. Here we see that our expressions of love, then how we love others and how we should do it, should all be a mirror image of the way He loved us to begin with and how He worked in our life. God is the initiator and His love is initiated from Him. We did not do anything to initiate this love from God. And a lot of times we didn't even initiate God loving us to begin with. We didn't come to salvation because we just had this unquenchable desire for God. God grew a love in us through His Spirit. As the Scripture tells us, the Father uses the Spirit to draw men to Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. God has loved us first. You know, it's like two kids when they're falling into love and I loved you first. No, I loved you first. No, I loved you first. And then back and forth. You know what God's saying? Here's the argument's gone. I loved you first. I loved you before the world. I loved you. And this love that we should have from one another, this love that we express should be a mirrored image of that God. Remember, look back up in verse 10. This is where we see it in verse 10. It says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. It's not that we have loved God. It's not that we did something to so mighty that God says, you know what? I think I love Lyle today because he did something so nice. I mean, that bow tie is looking great, so I think I'm going to love him today, right? It's not anything that we have done. There was never a point where we all of a sudden became good enough for God to love us. You know what? God loved us when we were at our worst. Because He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love Him because He first loved us. And our expressions of love and how we love one another, you know what? It's a mirror image of who God is. Because He loved us first. Because He began the process. Now then in verse 20 and 21, John gives us a practical application. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. John gives us this great contradiction. How could we say, I love God, but yet have hate and hold back compassion from our brothers? How can we say that we love this God, who God is love, and yet hate those that are around us? There's a contradiction there. It is something that's not right. There is a broken picture there somewhere. Because that's not the image that our God gave to us. God is love. He loved us first. And we cannot say that we love God, but yet hate our brothers. The practical application here is a real life scenario. How can we say that we love God, but yet hate our brother? We are a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is the reflection from God. You know, to me, it shows and it points us to the fact that if we say we love God, then our walk needs to back up our talk. That there should be something real in our application. John just doesn't leave it there. He says, listen, if we aren't loving, we're a liar. That there is a practical implication here that they're back. And how can we say that we love God and not care to worship Him? How can we say that we love God and not care to serve Him? How can we say that we love God and not care to reach out with loving arms to those that are around us? We see that love is mirrored from the source. Expressions of love are expressions of God made visible. And you see this theme is being built all throughout John, all throughout his teachings, all throughout what he's going through here in 1 John and even in his gospel. How that these loves are expressions. And back in chapter 3, verse 18, he says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That love should have action tied to it. Why? Because God's love for us had an action tied to it. Because Jesus came and died on a cross for us. Love is mirrored from the source. And when we express love, we express God. There was a Sunday school teacher who was real introverted and had a young group of primary boys, and he was wanting to learn to be more loving and to go out and express this more often. And one day he was walking down the sidewalk there, and he passed by a shoe shop. In the back of the shoe shop, he, peering in, he saw one of the boys that had visited his Sunday school class, and he just kept walking, but then he got under conviction. You know what? You want to express your love. You want to do these things more. Why don't you go back, talk to that boy, see if he knows the Lord. And he goes back to the shoe shop, begins talking to the boy in the back room of that shoe shop, and he leads him to the Lord. That was how D.L. Moody came to know Christ as his Savior, who became one of the great evangelists who would spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout Chicago and then throughout North America, even in different evangelistic efforts across the sea. Here we see an expression of love that should point others to God. It's what Matthew 5:16 tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's what Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, in verse 34 through 40. He says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" Our expressions of love and how we respond in these different circumstances in different ways, they are a mirror image of who God is. That is the tip here of what John is trying to tell us. That he's saying we love him because he first loved us. We are to be that mirror image of who God is. Now, how did we get there? How do we become that mirror image? Well, then as we go back in the passage here, we find out that love is perfected to produce confidence. Love is perfected to produce confidence. In verse 17 and 18, it says, "By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Now here in verses 17 and 18, we see how love is getting to the point where we can become that mirror image. And it starts with being perfected. There in verse 17, he says, "By this is love perfected." This word perfected here, it means to be complete. Kind of the idea of to full maturity. That this love is complete, that it's grown up, that it is full, it is in completion. And this word in its verb form here is called the divine passive. It's a perfect passive. It has an ongoing action leading to the present time, but it's also in a passive voice. In other words, somebody else is doing the action. The person writing didn't do the action. They didn't perform the action themselves. Somebody else performed the action of this verb. And the one who that performed that action is God. God perfected his love to us. God completed that love in us. He perfected it when he sent his son. Because back in 4:10, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." God perfected his love in us. And he did so through Jesus Christ. Because when he cried out, "It is finished," God said, "That is the payment. There it's completed." And when he rose again from the dead, God stamped the receipt and said, "Paid in full." God's love has been perfected through Jesus Christ. And that perfection has happened to us. And then we see what happens when we know that love. That love is perfected in us and it casts out fear. As we see in verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Now you're saying, now how can love cast out fear? A lot of times when we are following in love, we have a lot of fears. And we're scared to do a lot of different things. But how does this cast out fear? Because it produces confidence. And understand what this fear and confidence is tied to. Because in verse 18, "There is no love in fear, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment." It has to do with punishment. What's he talking about? In verse 17, "But perfect love casts out fear," or excuse me, it's 18, verse 17, "so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment." Confidence for the day of judgment. The day of judgment and the fear of punishment. What he's referring to is that perfect love in us that was completed through Jesus Christ. It has taken away the judgment. It has taken away the fact of death and condemnation before Him. As He tells us in John 3, 14 and 15, 17 and 18, that, you know, we are condemned already. And because we are condemned already, we needed a Savior to take away the condemnation. That was Jesus Christ. And when we know that perfect love casts out the fear of judgment, because our sins have been paid. And one day when we stand before God, our sins won't be judged because the blood of Jesus Christ has covered it. Perfect love cast out fear. What He is speaking of is a fear of the judgment, that day that is coming before us. And those without perfect love have a fear of the judgment to come. Those without the payment of Jesus Christ upon their life, and those who have not accepted Christ to be their Savior, asking for forgiveness of their sins, there's coming a day when they are going to stand afraid before God. The fear is coming. But you know what? Those that know that perfect love has cast out fear. That's why today we can rejoice. That's why today we can worship. We can smile. We can be happy. Why? Because perfect love in us has cast out the fear of the judgment to come. There is no punishment, but only perfection through Jesus Christ. And because of that, that perfect love gives confidence. That's what He says in verse 7. And by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence at the day of judgment. That's not anything that we've done. We're not going to stand before God in complete confidence and say, you know what, I think I've been pretty good. I'm pretty confident. No, because your standard and God's standard are completely different. But you know what does give us confidence in standing before the throne? Jesus Christ. And knowing Him as our personal Lord and Savior, and that perfect love in our life gives us confidence. Confidence for that day of judgment. And those that have accepted the perfect love of God through Christ Jesus will have confidence at that day. This confidence does not come through our attainment. We're not going to attain it by anything that we do. We're going to have it because of what He did. Because of the action. Again, 4:10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Remember, that word propitiation means the payment that appeases the wrath. We have the confidence in the perfect love because He took care of the payment for the wrath. We can have us an eschatological confidence. In other words, a future looking confidence. This then affects our actions while we're here on earth. If we know that we have freedom from the judgment, if we know that our sins have been forgiven, then why live in the bondage of sin anymore? Why not live in the freedom of Jesus Christ? Why do we have to let sin reign over us? Because His perfect love has cast out that sin, has cast out that fear, that we might live happy, that we might live excited and with confidence and boldness before God. Confidence gives us freedom. Confidence gives us life. Confidence gives us the power to love more. You ever know those things in your life that you feel guilty that you're not doing? When you know that you should be doing. And you think to yourself, why can't I get this right? Why can't I get this down? This is the ongoing relationship between me and my diet. And I keep thinking, why can't I get this right? Why can't I just stop from this? Why can't I do what I need to do? You know what? There's a point here with God and living in our Christian life that we've got to realize we don't have to live in guilt. We don't have to live in the dirt and in the mire and say, why do I keep getting this wrong? Why do I keep messing up? When we can live in the perfect love that casts out fear. It gives us confidence. Confidence for that day of judgment that's coming ahead. And when we have something taken care of before the deadline, it gives us freedom. Isn't there a big deadline coming up this week? April 15th. The big, scary tax day deadline. And now, man, until we get our taxes done, isn't it just out there looming, you know, like a big red light on our calendar? Tax day's coming. Do you have your papers filed with the IRS? Here it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And that light just gets brighter until you either get your taxes done or file an extension. But you know what? When you have your taxes finished, just like I completed my taxes last week, got it turned in, you know what? It's a burden off your shoulders. It feels good to know that, hey, that's taken care of. There is a freedom now because of it. I don't have to worry about April 15th anymore. You know what? Because of Jesus Christ, the burden of the day of judgment has been taken away. And we can live in freedom and in confidence today because His perfect love has cast out fear. Then, with that confidence that we have, we can love Him even more because He loved us first. We acted because you know what? His love has changed us. His love has done something for us. Do you see how it's building? So you have the perfect image, being that reflected image of God as a mirror. You have that coming from this perfect love that has cast out fear. But notice in verse 17, he says, "By this is love perfected." So what is the foundation? What is the "by this" here that John is talking about, that now that we can build upon this perfect love that can help us to be the mirror image of God? What is this all being built on? It's being built on the fact that love is expressed from the inside out. Love is expressed from the inside out. Look at verse 13. "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." There's the foundation that produces that perfect love that casts out fear, that then allows us to be the one that loves Him because He loved us first, and to be that mirror image. It's because the love is expressed from the inside out. The love is expressed because something happened on the inside and God is changing us, and we are growing in a relationship with Him in such a way that it is coming out in our expressions. It's coming out in our actions. It's coming out in our worship and how we serve Him, because something happened inside. Something changed us. Something incredible. What was it? His love. "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." The giving us of His Spirit, that Holy Spirit, works as that divine assurance. That Spirit that's in our life, that is present with us, that's dwelling inside of us, is there to give us of assurance of His love. What does the Spirit do? According to Scripture, He teaches us all things, bring all things to our remembrance. He convicts. You know, when you get that funny feeling when you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, the Spirit's working in your life. You know, when you are reading the Word of God and all of a sudden you're realizing, hey, there's something I need to change, the Spirit is working in your life. You know, when you're hearing the Word of God from a message, a preacher, in some form, fashion, and all of a sudden, you know what? There's something I need to change here. There's something not the Spirit working on us through conviction. That's the Spirit that God has given to us to be an assurance that He's saying, "I love you, and here's the assurance. I've given you my Spirit to dwell inside of you." How can conviction be an assurance of love? Because it's just like parents to their children. They discipline their children. They try to show their children the right way because they love them. You try to teach your kids not to play in the middle of the street. Unless it's just one of those days when they're really acting up. No, I'm kidding. You try to teach them these different things because you love them. You want them to walk right. You want them to do what's right and to follow the right path because you love them. And you know what? Sometimes you've got to bring a punishment. You've got to bring a discipline in their life so that they might learn. You know what? When the Spirit is convicting us, don't reject it, because that's God saying, "I love you." That's God saying, "I'm trying to work on you. I'm trying to bring about something greater than you. He has given us His Spirit. And if we do not grow in our love, you know what you're doing? You're spurning the Spirit. You're saying, I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear. I don't want to grow in a love for God. I don't want to grow in my worship for Him. I don't want to grow in expressing my love to somebody else this week. You're spurning the Spirit. He's given us His Spirit as a divine assurance. Then in verse 14, He reiterates to His readers, listen, this is something real. We are firsthand eyewitnesses, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He said, we have the firsthand experience here. And then we see what happens on the inside. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Remember the word here for confession. It means to say the same thing as. In other words, you are confessing, you are saying the same thing to God of who Jesus Christ is that God says who Jesus is. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Here is Jesus, the Son of God. And when we trust Him and when we confess that He is Lord and that we need Him as our Savior and we ask Him to come into our life and to save us from our sins, we are confessing that Jesus is the same person that we see God saying that He is. He's our Savior. He's a propitiation for our sins. And when we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that begins that relationship with God through that quickening, through that our spirit. It then gives us that understanding of who Jesus really is. And when you understand who Jesus is, when you get to know Him, folks, it will transform your life. I'm afraid sometimes we get too comfortable with who Jesus is. And we let the world dictate to us who Jesus is. I tell you, they're trying to push all these different shows and different things. They're going to show the AD on NBC again and try to tell us how the apostles were so rebellious. They're going to try to tell us, and people are going to try to tell us all this that they think about Jesus when God's saying, no, here's who Jesus is. And when we get to know who Jesus is, when we get to see what He's done for us, and when we see that the tomb was empty, that He rose for us, it will change us from the inside out. Why is there no change in my life? Why is there not anything getting better? Why do I keep falling? Because maybe you need to get back to the one that changes the inside. Maybe you need to get back to Jesus. That person who's real. Confess it. Say He's the Son of God. Without an understanding of Jesus, we're going to have a hard time understanding the perfect picture of love. And you know what? And if we don't understand who Jesus is, if we're not growing in who Jesus is, we're not going to reciprocate with the same type of love. Because we're not allowing it to be real in us. And what was the result? In verse 16, he says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. When you let Jesus work on the inside, you know what? You come to know and you believe, hey, this is what it's all about. This is how this love is perfected in me. This is how this love is growing in me. We have come to know and to believe. And it's an ongoing process. The outward expression then of love, the outward actions and everything that we're doing, you know what? That then comes as a natural result of what's happening on the inside. You know when it's hard to have a daily relationship with Jesus Christ? You know when it's hard to grow in Him? You know when it's hard to worship Him? Is when we've gotten away from letting it affect the inside. When we've gotten away from the daily relationship. When we've gotten away from the opportunity to grow in Him. And then you know what? All the outward actions become hard to explain. It becomes easier and easier to miss worship. It becomes easier and easier to miss times to express love and to sacrifice for somebody else's benefit. Oh, but when that love is transforming the inside of us, when Jesus bases and we are growing in Him and we're letting Scripture flow in us and we're praying and we're talking to Him and we're growing in that love, it becomes easier and easier to love Him more. It becomes easier and easier to serve Him more. It becomes easier and easier to worship Him more. It becomes easier and easier to give and to love our brothers, because the outward flows from the inward. It's an expression from the inside out. Our actions of expressing love, our actions of discipleship, showing who we are following. Are we following Him or not? And in John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus tells us that a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. These actions have that theological content. It's tied to who we think Jesus is and who we believe Him to be and who we've come to know Him to be in us, and how that Spirit works in us as well. Then we get to see what God looks like, because our outward expressions come from the inward love that's in us, of God being love. You know, as I was working on my master's, I worked as a janitor in Richland High School. And it was a humbling experience. And I had to find a way to pay bills and do these different things. I worked there from 3 to 12 at night. And through that whole experience, you know what? God would show me things here and there, here and there. As I first started that job in my first year of graduate school, the first thing that they make the janitors coming into the high schools do is clean all the bathrooms. So for the first 3 months that I was there, the only thing that I cleaned were bathrooms in a high school of about 2,500 kids. Folks, that's a low point of cleaning bathrooms for 2,500 kids. But you know what? I got to know how much these kids like their image, because I saw the mirrors that they left behind. I cleaned the mirrors every night, washing the mirrors down. The girls' restroom, there'd be makeup all over the mirrors. And mascara is the hardest thing to get off mirrors, all right? I'd clean the makeup and stuff off the mirrors. The guys would have hair gel on the mirrors. I'm like, how in the world do you get hair gel on the mirrors? But it's guys. You watch and you wash these mirrors and you clean them up day by day. And you know what? The next day you come back, the same thing are there. You know what? They didn't correct the image good enough the first day. They were looking in these mirrors. They were fixing their appearance. They were making sure everything was just right. They wanted the right image. And they spent time working on it. You know, that's what mirrors are good for in our life. They reflect the image. Here, John is telling us we love Him because He first loved us. And we have an opportunity to be a mirror image of the God that is love. And how much mirror time do we take to make sure that we're reflecting the right image? How much mirror time are we giving to God to say, God, I want to make sure I'm reflecting Your image. I want to make sure my expressions are from the inside out. I want to make sure that my love comes because You love me first. Because you see, John was telling us the tip is that if we love God, we're going to love our brother as well. The outward expression of love is going to come because we love God. And that's built on that perfect love that cast out fear, because Jesus, in His sacrifice, it took away the pain of the judgment to come, that we have freedom in God because of Jesus. And that perfect love cast out fear so that we can be the image. And all of that comes, we get to know that perfect love when it starts on the inside. When it grows from the inside out. And we have that Spirit as a divine assurance to us. And we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know what? We take the mirror time to build that relationship with God, to make sure that we are reflecting the right image. You see, whatever we put in front of this mirror, that's what it's going to reflect. And I'm afraid with our lives sometimes, the things that we are putting in front of the mirror gets more of the reflection than what God is. So what do we need to do? We need to have mirror time. And put God as the image to be reflected. Not those TV shows. Not what's on the internet. Not what somebody else is telling us. But to make sure that God is the image that we are reflecting. There's what happens when we get a hold of 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved creation. When we get to know that, and we put that in front of the mirror, folks, we can't help but love people because of it. We'll want to share it with somebody. Hey, I got to tell you about the love of God. How's your mirror time this morning? Are you getting to know Him? Are you growing in Him? Shall we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? This morning, as we come to this invitation, let the Spirit work. Let the Spirit move. Maybe He's speaking to your heart and your life right now. I pray that we wouldn't go from this place without responding to Him, that we would make sure that we're putting God in front of the mirror this morning and letting Him be the image that we reflect. Why God? Why do I have to do all these things? If you're asking that question, you have not gotten to know His love yet. Because when you get to know the fact that He loved us and sent His Son to be our propitiation, you can't help but put God in front of the mirror. Do you know Him today? Are you having trouble making sure that the actions meet what's on the inside? Maybe you need to get the inside right this morning. The altar's going to be open if you need to pray. But I pray this morning that our actions would come from that inside out. That our expressions of love would come because we know how much He loved us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this time of invitation, I pray, Lord, that You would move, that You would work in the way which only You can. God, that we would see how confessing Jesus as Lord and seeing that perfect love would help us to love our brothers because You loved us first. Help us, Lord, to have mirror time right now. That we make sure that we reflect the right image. God, move in hearts as only You can, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.